Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a Disney legend is honored on Main Street, the Lunar New Year foodie guide is out, along with the Sip and Saver Pass.
The big game is coming to Disneyland, more Magic Keyholder perks, we talk to voice actor Vincent Tong, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, senorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention, it's show time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 26th, 2022. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. Thank you to Natalie A. for becoming an official weekly tier and Gretchen D. for increasing her support. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you'd like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
So just a reminder for weekly tiers that this week is our book club discussion. The book we read was Magic Journey, My Fantastical Walt Disney Imagineering Career by none other than Kevin Rafferty. Super fun read. Very excited to discuss that with everyone on Thursday. If you are interested and if you're part of book club, we will have the link to that discussion in our Discord as well as on Patreon. It's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey in France again. Again, huh? Two times in a row. All right, I guess I gotta get to France. Anyway, Adventures by Disney is about to open up bookings for their next Great River Cruise. I told you a bit about the Rhine and Danube cruises last time. This week, we're taking a look down the River Seine. 8 days, 7 nights, 20 meals covered. Oh, and there's plenty more. Land at Charles de Gaulle Airport and get whisked away by your personal driver. Don't worry about your luggage, we have that covered. Unlike Walt Disney World. Sorry, Magical Express fans. After you board and get settled into your stateroom, say au revoir to the City of Lights as you start your journey as night falls. Your first full day includes hiking, biking, or just riding around the countryside. It's your choice. Spend an afternoon with your ship's chef, learning about the fine art of macarons. I fail every time I try to make one of these almond flour treats. There's no further punchline on this, it's just pastry shame. Head to the beaches of Normandy. The tour brings you to several sites like Omaha Beach, an American cemetery, and other memorials to the D-Day invasion. These sites reverberate with the significance of these historic battles. The crew spends an entire day in this area, allowing you to soak it all in. A few more days aboard and you can hike along breathtaking chalk cliffs and explore a farming town with an apple orchard at your leisure. Tour the storied city of Rouen, sampling cheeses and chocolates from one of the world's most renowned dairy centers. Visit the Gothic majesty of Notre Dame Cathedral and explore still more ancient portions of the city. You might not find Quasimodo, but you will find areas where Joan of Arc and even Vikings walked. Day 6 of your journey brings you to the home of Claude Monet, which has been painstakingly reconstructed. The gardens here inspired some of the greatest Impressionist works ever made. Nearby, visit the Museum of Impressionisms for further evidence of Monet's works and those of his contemporaries. Round out your trip back to Paris with a further taste of the good life. It's been an amazing week traveling through northwestern France, but what if you could make it last a little bit longer? Adventures by Disney has you covered, friend. Spend an extra 3 days and 2 nights before or after your cruise in the heart of Paris. Spend a few nights in luxury at the Hilton Paris Opera while you dine in the Eiffel Tower itself. Tour the Louvre Museum and witness the world's most iconic works of art like Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. Take the time and recommendations of your Disney tour guides to explore Paris on your own for an evening. These trips are actually discounted right now if you can wait a bit. Trips in 2023 are discounted $500 per person. Let's travel east around the world to Disneyland, where starting now through March 17th, you can book discounted stays at all three resort hotels on property. Guests at Paradise Pier receive 10% off of their stays Sunday through Thursday. If you want to go premium, check out the rates at Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian Hotel for the same dates. Get 20 to 25% off of your room based on standard or premium rates at these hotels. Let's head further east to the same Central Florida location we all know and love, Walt Disney World. Hollywood Studios is even easier to access right now with discounts on resort rooms that start from March 6th through July 7th. Why are we talking about Hollywood Studios right now? Disney released some new information regarding their newest barbecue restaurant in Toy Story Land named the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue. Shrink in size and become an honorary member of Andy's toy collection. Andy's new rodeo mixes a Western town and a train station playset along with your favorite Toy Story characters. We're guessing there's going to be some barbecue in there, too. We don't know exactly what to expect at this point. This one's mostly concept art, but we're excited to try it out. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Concy Ears. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for giving us all that information this week, as always. Now let's get to the news.
A new proprietor has taken up residence on Main Street. Dave Smith, the creator of the Disney Archives, received a window on Main Street above the Fortuosity Shop. The window says, New Century Historical Society, Dave Smith, Town Archivist, preserving, protecting, and presenting our fond memories of the past. Dave sadly passed away back in 2019 before he could receive the honor of the window. The ceremony was attended by Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock, Disneyland Park Vice President Chris Thieler, Archives Director Becky Klein, Disney Ambassadors Mark Everett King Jr. and Natalie Guzman, and Dave's sister Jean Marana. Dave was named a Disney Legend in 2007.
Yeah, I feel like it's been... And maybe it's just I haven't paid attention to it, but I feel like it's been a little bit since we've had a new window on Main Street. And I love the location of this one because I feel like a lot of the windows up to this point have been like facing the middle part of Main Street. This one is too, but it's above the Fortuosity Shop. It's that little section that like pops out. Yeah. So you kind of get to like pop out. And I was watching the video of this actually, and the Natalie like yanked the thing down. I was like, oh goodness, she pulled on that, because I was like, what if it doesn't come down, because there's like a curtain over it.
Yep, she made sure it was gonna come down, because yes, she, yep. But it was very cool. Yeah. Like, because they, like Tag said, there was this like fancy red curtain above it, so you could not sneak a peek at it before the ceremony. But yeah, it's very neat, you know. I was really excited that Dave Smith was going to be getting a window, because I, for some reason, had this tickle that they were either not really doing windows on Main Street anymore, or they're being way crazy selective. So it's such a great honor. So I think it's really well deserving, because come on, without, look, the Disney Archives, without him, they wouldn't exist, mm-hmm. which is just crazy. Because of Dave Smith, we know exactly how Walt's office was the last time he was in it. I mean, there's so many things that would have just been lost to history if it wasn't for this man and the department that he created. So it's awesome.
Also, the Blue Fairy was there, yeah, with Geppetto and Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio. They sung When You Wish Upon a Star. Mm-hmm. Really cool. I feel like this one seemed to have been kind of a big deal there on Main Street as well, because like I said, when I've seen these before, I feel like they're a little bit more off to the side kind of thing. This looks like it took up most of Main Street and had characters and everything, so maybe it's didn't pay attention before, but I'm gonna start paying attention for the future. But what an awesome thing. If it, and for those of you listening that don't know, there are windows on Main Street that are basically it's recognition of people who have made some type of contribution, mm-hmm. to the park or to the Walt Disney Company. They also have these, of course, in Disney World and some other parks around the world as well. But Disneyland's kind of where it started. So next time you're in the park, if you have time, I highly recommend looking up above, usually on the second floor of the buildings down Main Street, and there's a lot of windows there. You could also go to City Hall, and I believe they have a list there.
Oh.
that will tell you all of the different windows that are there and tell you where they are. So I need to spend more time doing this because I feel like I do enjoy Main Street and I do look at things on Main Street, but I don't find myself reading the windows as often as I should.
So it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of windows on Main Street, right? Mm-hmm. But some of them are tied into, like you were saying, people that have had major contributions. And the other ones I think are just kind of maybe just there for a show and they're not necessarily linked. So it is cool because I loved how they did this because they don't make it like, thanks, Dave Smith. You know, it's this fun little tie-in that makes it feel very Main Street and very that, you know, time period, mm-hmm. but also is like showcasing and has a reflection on what it was that they did that was so helpful. One of the ones I can think of right now is Alice Davis's window has something about like sewing because right she mm-hmm. she made a lot of the costumes for different animatronics and such. Obviously Small World would be the biggest one that comes to mind first. So her window has something to do with like sewing. The other cool thing that they did too was not everybody, the public isn't able to attend the window ceremonies. So Becky Klein actually had done presentations a couple of times in the day for D23 members to attend. It was in the Opera House, and she did a talk about the window and about Dave Smith mm-hmm. for D23 members. So that was something that was extra special.
She's on my like strange bucket list of people to meet.
Oh, yeah,
because she seems amazing and has mm-hmm. such a wealth of knowledge mm-hmm. and, of course, is, you know, curating the archives now. So,
yeah.
Well, last week we talked about so much food that on the day that the podcast posted, the Foodie Guide to the Lunar New Year was posted. So we're just going to kind of talk about some other things that we did not talk about before. Though I do want to point out that I've seen reviews online and the reviews of the garlic noodles have been amazing, as well as, I just saw another one down here, the sweet potato macaron also got amazing reviews from people. Mm, makes me wish I was there right now to have some of this food. I already had dinner tonight, but it's making me hungry again.
I've heard so many good reviews of the food. I don't know if I've seen a bad review of food yet. I'm sure somebody somewhere out there has not enjoyed something, but like kind of like the beef Wellington kind of had really mixed reviews,
sure.
But I've seen lots of good reviews. So we last week had talked about what the food carts had, but what the Foodie Guide let us know in addition to what the different carts had is what different locations have. There's so much food at this festival. I think it's great. The photos, of course, are beautiful. You just want to like reach into the screen if you could to try it.
Now, there's also on this same list, there's Hong Kong Disneyland and Shanghai Disneyland who also have some food. But spoiler alert, Disneyland has the most food.
But there was things, like the cappuccino cart. So the new Joffrey's cart has a couple of items specifically for the Lunar New Year festival. Of course, we talked about Lucky Fortune Cookery, but the studio catering truck, that's another one that we hadn't talked about before. They have hoisin pork sliders. Yum. There's also a seasonal cart in the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. This sounds really interesting to me. I don't know. At first, when I read it, it sounds like it's got to be a dessert, right? Brown sugar steam bun. Brown sugar steam bun topped with blue cream cheese icing. The first time I read it, I read just blue. Like, I thought of blue cream cheese and thought of, like, blue cheese, and I got very confused.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, brown sugar steam bun, that just, yum. Mm-hmm. Anyways, tons of good food. It probably isn't true, but for some reason, it feels to me like they are just, every time they release these menus and foodie guides, it feels like there's just more and more and more and more food.
I do want to say, I know this isn't Disneyland, but because this also has Hong Kong mm-hmm. Disneyland and Shanghai, I want to say the Asian parks do an amazing job with their presentation of things because they're huge on Mickey. Everything's mm-hmm. kind of Mickey shaped. And some of the pictures in this thing, we have it linked in our show notes, have like some of these cute little things.
Donald waffle. I don't think I've seen a Donald waffle.
But like, look at this dessert thing. It all looks so good. Anyway.
That one it's got Lotso Bear from Toy Story.
Oh, right here, yeah.
The little fruit slice there. Wow.
It's making me hungry. It's making me hungry.
Oh, it's from Sunnyside Cafe. So that's like, you know, Sunnyside Daycare.
Sure. Yep.
Toy Story themed. Very cool. Any and all weekly tiers that go and get to try this deliciousness, please report back and let us know if it really is as good as it looks, because, man, yum. Minnie Mouse is celebrating National Polka Dot Day with a virtual retreat hosted on Instagram each day from January 31st through February 4th. The events will showcase what it means to be positively Minnie with different guests each day. The sessions will begin at 10 a.m. Pacific. Replays will be available afterwards, and topics include empowering your life, styling, forging good friendships, turning a passion into a business, and more. To attend the virtual retreat, check out the link in our show notes.
I'll tell you, though, as I was writing this, the turning a passion into a business, I was like, podcast, check. But this is a neat idea of doing kind of like an online seminars daily. You know, they're only going to be, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a piece, but you're going to have all these different people on to talk about all of these different topics. So what a great way to kind of spread some knowledge and kind of make it fun with National Polka Dot Day with Minnie Mouse and everything. Are any of these things that you're interested in catching online?
I think the empowering your life, forging good friendships, basically, I think all of, maybe styling is the only one that doesn't sound like one that I would sign up for right away. Because I do not consider myself stylish. I don't really, Yeah, but all of them sound really interesting because it's all kind of areas that maybe I know a little bit of, but it's always good to learn more of.
Yeah, and these are only some of the things they're going to talk about because they have more people that they haven't announced yet that are going to do some of this too. So
very exciting.
Could be interesting. I also like the fact that they're doing it on Instagram because I feel like you could go, there's usually like on a website or even like a Facebook Live kind of thing, but Instagram is like a different medium for that, so that'll be interesting. Well, this week we have pricing for the Sip and Savor Pass guests can purchase to make the most of their Lunar New Year eating. For $43, the pass includes 6 tear-off tabs that are good for select food and non-alcoholic items. Magic key holders get a $3 discount on the pass.
I mean, $3 may not sound like the greatest discount that there ever was, but, you know, that saves, it's a couple bucks at least. And if you're planning on trying multiple items, why not get the Sip and Savor pass? Again, we do suggest that you know, do the math. So let me do the math real quick.
Sorry, you're doing the math, Teresa?
Yeah. So we do suggest that if you do not have the Magic Key discount, make sure to try and get items with your tabs that are over $7.17 to make sure that you get your money's worth and you at least break even. If you are a Magic Key holder, you want to try and make sure that you get items that are over $6.67. So Magic Key, so $7 is kind of your break even, if not do better point. So if your list is very long, try and write down what your dollar amounts are so you know which things you should use tabs for and which things would make more sense to pay out of pocket for.
Because that's what we did for the other festival.
It worked
as well.
Out really well.
God, I want some of that food again. It was so good.
He's, of course, talking about Festival of the Holidays food because we did get the Sip and Savor pass for Festival of the Holidays, and yum, so good.
All these things have been popular too because we've seen this weekend reports of how long the lines and stuff have been. We had a couple weekly tiers who were in the parks, and they said that the lines were just crazy.
I think they joked and said that the food lines were actually longer than attraction lines. So
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
Sports fans should get excited. The Super Bowl is coming to Disneyland. ESPN will have some hosts at Disney California Adventure from February 9th through the 13th. Personalities include Super Bowl champions Ryan Clark, Booger McFarland, Teddy Bruschi will be there, as well as Hall of Famer Randy Moss. They will be at the Paradise Bay viewing area at various times those days. For specific times, check out the link in our show notes. Downtown Disney will also have some entertainment February 10th through the 13th between 1 and 7 p.m.
So I always laugh because when they use the term Super Bowl, so when I worked at the news station, you could not say Super Bowl. It's like super protected by the NFL. So it was always the big game. So I thought it was funny that they were able to actually talk about the Super Bowl, although considering that this seems to be an official thing, it should be fine. Yep. I mean, we don't know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I will say my mom was very excited the other night because the Niners beat the Packers by like 3 points or whatever, and her team, she loves the Niners and doesn't like the Packers. And then her other team, the Chiefs, also beat the team that they were playing against. I don't remember who they were playing against, by just a little bit as well. So very exciting. I'm not a sports person, I don't know any of these people.
No, I've heard of Randy Moss. Super
we're not
exciting.
A football podcast.
Yeah,
we're
super exciting for football slash Disney fans to be able to kind of experience this. This would not be something I would have guessed was happening. And the funny thing is I saw the like Disney football logo and kind of just breezed over it a couple of times this week and was like, I don't understand this. And then when I was looking through and finding the news articles and actually like stopped and looked at what the football-y looking thing was about, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty cool.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. Terrible. I'm terrible.
I feel like back in the day, the ESPN zone was a popular place
That's
to be
true.
On the Super Bowl day. And we always know that it's been Disney World generally, but the Super Bowl champions always go to Disney World, or at least some of the team does. Well, we briefly talked about the redesign coming to the Magic Key Terrace in Disney California Adventure soon. The Orange County Register had an interview with Kim Irvine about the newly designed location. She described it as Magic Key holders having a location that they could call their own, like Club 33. The location will have reduced capacity as the renovation is completed in phases over the next few months. Some of the changes will include new furniture, lighting fixtures, draperies, tile work, stained glass, and murals inspired by a pair of adorable animal mascots. The mascots will be a peacock and the fan favorite Disneyland cat who often visits this location, Nutmeg.
I seriously can't get over that a Disneyland, like that they're incorporating Nutmeg, a Disneyland cat, into this new and improved Magic Key Terrace. I think that's just crazy. We do have to mention, we don't quite agree with the whole comparison of this to Club 33. Will it be a members only type experience? Yes, but I don't think it's like apples and oranges. You can't really compare the two because Club 33 is its like own awesome, amazing thing. This is just like a fun special perk for Magic Key holders, but it will be exclusive, so it will not be crazy busy like maybe other dining locations. I really love the concept art of this place, though. And perhaps it's because there's lots of teal in it, and I love the teal in our logo color.
Well, the other thing, too, is when we were there and we ate at the Magic Key Terrace, it did seem kind of plain and whatever. So this concept art really looks like they're like sprucing the area up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for Magic Key holders. This is a really neat kind of addition, something that as annual pass holders wasn't something for a long time that we had anything like. So very cool that they're doing something like this. I do like the look of it. I'm excited to see what it looks like in the end. It was kind of a strange space up there, I guess. I remember coming to meet you guys and I didn't even know there was like seating as far down as you guys were. But that, in fact, I'll be honest, if it wasn't for the last few trips we've gone, I had never been in this part of California Adventure. And the fact that I know it's there now is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like tucked up and hidden. So maybe that's the other reason they decided to compare it to Club 33, because you don't really know it's there unless you know it's there. But again, apples and oranges, not nearly going to be the same level that Club 33 is. I'm really excited. I can see the peacock themes in the concept art here. I seriously geeked out. I have not met Nutmeg in person myself, but the Disney nerd in me just like super geeked out that they were going to incorporate a Disneyland cat as one of the mascots for this. I think that is so, so cool. So, so Disney. And I just can't wait to see how they do that. More information has been announced about the Magic Key Holder Celebration Month coming to Disneyland next month in February. Magic Key sunglasses sporting the Magic Key and Disneyland logos will be available across from the Blue Sky Cellar in Disney California Adventure. A third poster was announced to be offered in Downtown Disney. This one is the Blueprints of Avengers Campus and another special attractions poster, which will be at Wonderground. A magic shake will be a hidden menu item at Black Tap, and a themed adult beverage called Imagine will be at Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen. Other thing to note too, Wetzel's Pretzels will be giving out pins with purchase as well.
These sunglasses Like, I'm not...
They're fun.
I don't think they're going to be super high quality, but no. Gosh, I want these. And on top of that, the shake, of course, looks really good. But this... I don't even drink alcohol, but this Imagine cocktail looks amazing. So it's an alcoholic cocktail provided of Empress gin, mint flavored syrup, fresh lime juice, and sparkling wine, topped with a color changing glitter dust. It's served with a rock candy stir for good measure. It looks so refreshing.
Color changing glitter dust. How fun. You know, it kind of reminds me of like something you'd get at Bing Bong's. I don't know, probably because of the candy and the color, but it feels very... gives me that kind of vibe.
Also, the cell phone cases.
Yes.
The one that looks like It's a Small World and the one with Sumi Dukas on it looks amazing. I know there's also fans in our Discord chat that love the Tinkerbell one that's coming. I'm just hoping, because my problem with the cell phone cases is it seems like they only have it for like one or two models of phone, and if you don't have those two models, you're out of luck. So yeah. I'm really, really hoping that they will do something where it'll have more models available, because I feel like they're just really limiting people to be able to buy those.
Well, you know, it's... Do you know this? Do they still have... Because it used to be like a print-on-demand thing. Are they still doing...
Like the D-Tech on-demand? Yeah, I think
so. Are they still print... I would think doing like print-on-demand, you'd be able to have more variety, because then it's not like you've committed to this many cases of this design for this one specific model versus like, oh, we just have this many in stock ones that we can make whatever. But I think the last time we were there, you'd buy them like off the rack kind of thing. So I don't know. We'll have to pay attention next time we're there. Or if any weekly tiers know if it's, you know, that kind of print on demand D-Tech thing, or if you're buying them off the shelf now, that would maybe give us a little insight as to why the limit on different shapes and models.
Yeah. One of the famous mountains will be taking a quick refurbishment break next month. From February 28th through March 4th, the Matterhorn will be closed. No word on what will be worked on at this time, but good to know if you're making a trip to the resort during that time frame.
The Redwood Creek Challenge Trail has a new inhabitant. Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon has a meet and greet setup with special lighting that makes it really beautiful at night. Guests can also ask cast members to walk by the location instead of waiting in the sometimes long lines to actually meet Raya. Guests that choose this option cannot stop, so be aware of that if you do choose the walk-by method.
Yeah, apparently if cast members, and they're not always allowing people to do this, but if when they do, apparently they're being very strict of like, move along.
Sure.
Like, I don't even think it's possible, unless you're doing drive-by photoing, that you're going to be able to quickly take a picture. I love the fact that Raya has made it into the park. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had Mirabelle from Encanto, was like even before the movie came out. And the fact that Raya has been out for quite a while and she's just now showing up, I'm just glad that she's there. Her outfit and everything looks cool. Her little meet and greet area looks kind of neat. So this is definitely something I want to see next time we're there.
The meet and greet area is very detailed. I love, this is one of the things that I think I will keep saying, but these distance meet and greets feel like they've been plussed. Yes, you can't go run up and hug your favorite characters, but the spaces that they've created around the characters are just so detailed and so cool. Whereas before it would just be, you know, you'd see them like walking out, you know, in the park. You didn't have so many dedicated meet and greet spaces like this. So I think it's very cool that we are getting that. The other thing too, I can't wait. We've seen pictures of Raya's area like at dusk. I don't know if she does meet and greets at night, but I do want to see what this lighting looks like when it's darker. So again, if Weekly Tiers do get to go back and meet Raya and it's a little bit darker out, please send us your pictures. We'd love to see them. Will I be warned, though, I did read reports that the line to meet her was like over an hour long at some point. So very popular since she's brand, you know, since it's a brand new meet and greet.
Just a heads up to everybody. I didn't put this in the news because I forgot about it, but I did see reports online that starting January 26th in Disney World, some character sightings will be available through Genie Plus.
Oh.
So you can reserve that through Lightning Lane to whatever to bypass the standby line to see some of your favorite characters. So this is in Disney World, but my guess is if it's successful there, it'll probably be coming to Disneyland as well. So just a heads up, nothing's been announced, but that's what they're doing over in Disney World.
The only way that I can see that making sense and working for Disneyland would be like meeting the princesses, you know, in Princess Fantasy Fair. Or if they have, because it I feel like those meet and greets would need to be behind closed doors to make them more exclusive.
Yeah, the four that they said were Mickey at Town Square in Magic Kingdom, Cinderella and Visiting Princesses at the Fairy Tale Hall, Tiana at the Fairy Tale Hall, and Olaf at Celebrity Spotlight in Disney Hollywood Studios. So these are areas where it's kind of not just in the distance kind of things.
Interesting.
But we have the Princess Fantasy Fair where people can go, so that might end up being a GD Plus thing at some point.
I would say that maybe like Mickey's House could become one, too. But
where it's closing soon.
Yeah, Toontown being reimagined, you know, who knows? Who knows? Interesting, though.
Speaking of characters, a fun part of Toy Story Midway Mania has returned. Mr. Potato Head is back talking with guests as they wait to experience the attraction. Mr. Potato Head has been behind his curtain for a while since his eyes were not functioning correctly for the last few months.
You know, I noticed the last two times we were there that Mr. Potato Head was not out, and it made me sad, and I didn't, for some reason, I don't know. I was assuming, maybe it's a COVID thing.
Sure.
And they don't want people kind of grouping and gathering in front of him. And maybe that's I made excuses. I did not think that poor Mr. Potato Head was having some stage fright issues and was having issues with his eyes. I'm glad he was able to see the potato optometrist to get that worked out.
I love Mr. Potato Head. One of the things that I love most about Mr. Potato Head is this character is amazing. He can take his ear off and put it back on.
I know.
So cool. It reminds me of a more high-tech version of like Roz in the Monsters, Inc. ride.
Because
Roz can talk to you and stuff too. And I love these interactive parts of the attraction. So good to see Mr. Potato Head is back. I always just remember at the end it might have been Toy Story 2, where it, like a post-credit scene or whatever, they've got Mrs. Potato Head, don't forget to pack this and that and the other thing. It just keeps going on and on. It's like, and you're Play-Doh, and it like squishes all of his parts out and everything. And your angry eyes.
Don't forget your angry eyes.
Anyway, sorry. I love Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story, so...
The Plaza Point Holiday Shop is hitting its second holiday with Lunar New Year. There is still Christmas items for purchase, but the shop has some select merchandise for Lunar New Year. In addition to the merchandise, there's also some cute decorations scattered about, like firecrackers, lanterns, and more.
It's neat. Like, that's what they said when they built this place, that it was going to celebrate the different holidays as time goes on. Of course, we went through Christmas, which was like, it's you know, big push because it's the holiday shop. It's mostly Christmas, but then also has these other holidays. So I love the fact, I love the shops, especially on Main Street, that do all the decorations. Halloween, they've got like the crows around in some shops and stuff like that, different holiday costumes. But this one's kind of cool. I like the lanterns and the firecrackers and stuff like that. It's neat.
The fun thing about this too is it's some of the like Lunar New Year festival merchandise that you can also get in Disneyland at Plaza Point. So I think that's kind of fun too. It's because from what I remember in past years anyways, all of the dedicated Lunar New Year festival merchandise was kind of just in one location. So it's nice that there's multiple locations to be able to pick up these kind of things. And of course it fits very well into the holiday shop because this is exactly what the holiday shop's all about.
Well, you're going to be excited about this one, Teresa. For those weekly tiers who need to add to their mini ear collection, some new designs have arrived. First is the gold sequined bell ears, which feature a cartoon bell on the ears and a gold rose in the center of the bow on top for $34.99. The second set is a new take on the classic mini design with a white bow with red polka dots and a black sequin ears and band for $29.99. The third pair are themed after Sleeping Beauty Castle with a pink sequin bow and a studded gold D in the center. Black ears covered in images from Sleeping Beauty in gold and colorful accents for $29.99. Then there's the Play in the Parks ears, which are like the existing Mickey balloon ears with blue and yellow Mickey shapes, which light up for $32.99. Finally, the Amethyst mini ears, which feature colorful sequins, mostly in purple shades with a giant bow for $29.99. The Sleeping Beauty one, beautiful.
Yeah, the top of this list, my favorite is the Sleeping Beauty Castle ears. I'm glad that they kept them at $29.99 because they honestly kind of, for some reason, they remind me a little bit of what we were seeing from some of like the designer ears.
Sure.
So I feel like I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have had a higher price point on this one. So I'm super glad that they did not make them crazy expensive. And I also really love the amethyst
ears. The amethyst ones reminds me of the 50th anniversary for Disney World kind of look with that iridescence.
They do, yeah, because the sequins on the amethyst ears are just really beautiful.
I just love this design on the Sleepy Beauty Castle ears.
I'm also a sucker for anything that uses the Disneyland D font. Like, I love, it's such an iconic image to me. Mm-hmm. It's great. Huh. Well done, Disney. Well done.
Psst, avast there. Here comes seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Well, welcome to Trivia Land, where this week we're celebrating a bunch of listener questions. So you can only blame them, not me.
But you picked them.
I mean, that is true. So, fine. I will take like 5% of the blame.
Oh, okay.
5%. But let's just jump right into it, huh? Our first question from Jill M. In the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, when the woman is selling the chickens, there are four people standing waiting. What is the woman in the brown dress holding?
I feel like she's just got like a handkerchief.
This is in the auction scene with the chickens?
Yes.
I think... Oh, wait a minute.
Somebody has a cage. I'm going to say she's holding a cage.
Cage. Now I'm second guessing which one's wearing the brown dress.
Because the first time I thought about it, I thought it was a grandfather clock, but that was the old one because that was the guy taking the grandfather clock.
One of the guys in the line has like it on his back.
Does he? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to change my answer because I think the woman that only has a handkerchief, I think she's wearing a yellow dress. But I think the one in the brown dress is holding a chicken.
Oh.
Ooh.
I think she's holding a chicken. She might also have a handkerchief as well. Now, I think the big thing's the chicken.
If the chicken is in the cage, do you get the point?
I will award the point if the chicken is in the cage, and that is the
but I don't
answer.
Get the point if I said cage.
I will still give you a point.
If it's a chicken, though, no point for
you. If it's a chicken in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You two are covering your bases together.
That's totally
like
fine.
Now I really hope it's a chicken in a cage so that we're both right and remembering it differently.
Just be so perfect.
We'll find out.
That would be.
Our second question comes from listener Chris Y. In the Haunted Mansion, why is Uncle Theo's bust broken?
Is that the with the singing busts?
Yes.
Why is it broken?
I know this.
I think because the spirits were having too good of a time.
No, I...
Would you like a hint?
Yes.
It is not a thematic choice, rather a technical choice.
Was it?
Oh, it's hiding something.
Is it hiding something?
It's hiding something.
Is it? It's got to be something with the way the projections work on that.
It's hiding the projector.
It's hiding the projector?
No, the projector's.
The projector's like under the thing.
It's hiding something. What is it hiding?
Is it what's behind the singing bust? Is it
just like the,
maybe there's a speaker back there or something that's hiding.
Speaker, but...
I will accept hiding something as a generic.
Ooh,
kind of answer,
I'm going with hiding something.
Hiding something.
All right.
Why that's not right.
Our third question comes from listener Stephen S. A representation of the Death Star can be found in the queue of which ride?
A representation.
And let's not talk about these Star Wars attractions.
So it's not a Star Wars attraction?
Not a Star Wars attraction.
Ooh.
A representation of the Death Star. Oh, I'm going to guess that it's in Web Slingers, because that was a big thing in Spider-Man, was they had the Death Star Lego.
Yeah.
Or it could also be in the collectors, somewhere hidden in the collectors place.
I'm going to go with Web Slingers.
Web Slingers.
All right, one last question.
Are you going with Web Slingers?
Yeah. Always go with your gut, right?
That's right.
I feel like it's maybe one of the sketches or something.
Did we run out of months?
In the pre-show. We did, because what I forgot to do?
Buy a
new calendar. No. I said it like 10 times when we were there, but I forgot. Sorry, James.
That's okay. Our last question from listener Liberty M, who's doing the work for me of a cast member costume. I am immediately recognizable with my bright colors, crisp vests that feature white and colorful stripes. I am also seen with matching colorful pants and a fun straw hat donned with bright colored strip of fabric.
Dapper Dans.
Oh, yeah.
That is.
That was not very convincing, Peg.
Dapper Dans. I could see parts of things in my head, but like, you know how sometimes you get like a part of a picture in your head and you're like, but where, like, give me the rest, but it's like fuzzy.
So you're jumping on the
Dapper Dans.
Excellent. Well, we will find out all the correct answers for these questions after this week's discussion topic.
So for this week, our special guest, Vincent, has a movie coming out on Disney Plus, coming out this Friday. We talk about it in part two of the interview, so we wanted to make sure that everyone knew about it this week so you can catch the premiere, the movie that he is in. He's in Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild. He is the voice of Crash, one of the possums. Looks super fun. I know Tag and I are very excited to see it.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are speaking with Vincent Tong, who wanted to be titled Vincent Tong the First, the amazing actor of the upcoming Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild that's coming to Disney Plus Friday from when this episode is posted. That is the 28th of January.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on the show and talking with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I just want to be clear. I'm just teasing him because we asked how he wanted to be introduced and we were kind of joking around. So I can already tell that this interview is going to have a lot of joking and playing around. So I think you guys are all in for a treat.
Just a treat.
Ad voices. Already awesome. We've gone off the rails.
I love it. I love it.
If you paid your admission, yeah, you get a few voices.
So, Vincent, you actually had emailed into us because you yourself are a big Disneyland fan. So
yes.
Please tell us your Disney story. How did you become such a fan of either the parks, the movies, the brand, all that?
My Disney story, I think, begins when I was like a little kid. And I loved watching movies, of course. And one of the movies that brought my love of Disney was Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Great movie.
Angela Lansbury just rocking the house as a witch. For people who haven't seen it, you got to watch it. Mm-hmm. It's about a witch. She's a witch, but she's an amazing bumbling witch and she's fantastic in it. I think it started my love of musicals as well, because I recently rewatched the movie and I was like, oh my goodness, like this movie is unbelievable, first of all, has a mix of live action and animation, and is a phenomenal musical. Great music in it. Portobello Road. What's the other song? Bobbing along on the bottom of the beautiful briny sea.
Yes.
Like, so much fun. I think it started from that and watching Dumbo. I think it was on the same VHS tape. That's back in the day, kids. Look it up. There was a three letters, VHS. Hope I didn't go too fast for y'all. Look it up. So that movie was on the same VHS. So it would be Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Dumbo. And I love Dumbo. And I would cry all the time when Baby Be Mine,
mm-hmm.
I think it is. The title of the song. Oh, my gosh. Just heartbreaking when Mama Jumbo would rock Dumbo.
Yeah.
All locked up. And I would do an impersonation. This is, I think, my very first impersonation that my parents told me that I did. Was of Timothy Mouse when he gets drunk. And he's like, come on, Dumbo, we gotta go. Chewing your ears. You know, so that was like my very first impersonation, apparently, when I was a kid. I would act like drunk Timothy the Mouse.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it I think that's where it started from for me. And I loved everything Disney. And so my family, we in my childhood lived in Toronto, Ontario. That's, you know, near the border and on the East Coast. So I was a Disney World kid. So lucky that my parents got to bring me to Disney World a few times. And my parents tell me that the very first ride, they didn't even know much about Disney. They were like, it's for kids. Let's go to this one. Snow White. Yeah, I heard of that movie. Let's go in. Snow White's Scary Adventure. Not a good choice for our first ride. So yeah, we hated it. screaming and crying. So they tried Small World, and it was like Small World for like 8 hours, because that's the only ride that we would go on.
They're like, this is safe. We're exactly. Not sure about the other ones. This one is good.
I thought you were going to say you went on It's a Small World, and then you were like, the music is terrible in this. And then two for two, yeah. Just not doing well.
Yeah.
No, we love Small World. We did. My sister and I. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Disney nut from then on. And we went a couple of times. But you know what the funny thing is like, I wish we had, and that's why I wrote into you guys, because I love your podcast. It's super fun. And I love to listen to it and hear all the stories of your trips as well. And anyway, I didn't have this community as a child. I was literally a closeted fan because all my Disney stuff was in my closet, hidden from my friends. Yeah. They didn't see it. It was like my little like sparkler that I got in Disney World, my little like flip books of the Disney animation, my Disneyland maps. They were all kind of curated and like put together really nicely on the floor of my closet. But nobody knew it was there. It was just for me, because I didn't have a community like you guys have here with DL Weekly. So yeah. And then I actually became a cast member at the Disney Store.
Ooh.
In Burnaby here at Metrotown, way back when. And so yeah, I was a cast member there, wearing the awesome khaki pants. My goodness. White shoes. They were like bricks, and an aqua yarn cardigan. Yeah, it was really pretty. It was gorgeous. But I loved it. I loved working there. And that's when I learned about being a cast member, and where you're not wearing your uniform, you're wearing your costume. And when you take a break, you're taking an intermission. They're like, Vincent, you can take your intermission now. I'm like, well, thank you. I'll just go backstage. All the lingo was there. And I loved it because I did musical theater for fun at that age. And I loved musicals all my life. And then eventually did it professionally for like 15 years. So, I think that's really it. Well, Disneyland, I guess I should answer that. I was a huge Disney World fan. And then it wasn't until we moved back over here to the West Coast. I'm in Vancouver, BC, Canada right now. Started going to Disneyland a bunch, and just fell in love with the original Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's like my happy place, my wife's happy place. My wife, who I met, man, I'm just going on tangents here.
That's no, okay. This is, that's
you've
normal
listened to the podcast.
Us, you know.
So my wife and I met very traditionally on Bumble. That's a dating app. So it which is a cool app because the girls get to make the first move. If you guys match up, the ladies have 24 hours to initiate a conversation. Otherwise, the match is gone. It just disappears. So luckily, I'm very honest with myself. I'm very proud that I'm a Disney fan on my profile. I was like, I'm a huge Disneyland nerd. I'm assuming you are as well. And so my first message from her was, I used to work at Disney World. What's your favorite ride or something like that? And I was like, oh my goodness, what? So I had to speak to her right away. So she was a cast member at Epcot. So she's originally from France.
So she
did the program. And so she worked at the French Pavilion and the World Showcase over there. So we both were cast members.
That's super cool.
Well, get her on the mic. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? Forget about this guy. Where is she?
Barry in the lead there, man. Jeez.
I know, right? So yeah, and I did do one cartoon. Well, I did a few cartoons that were on, like the packages from Planet X was my very first Disney XD cartoon, and I was like just like super happy about that. And then Gigantosaurus came out on Disney Plus, and then now Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild, which I'm super happy to be a part of, and just, you know, getting emails from like Disney Studios. I'm like.
that's pretty epic. That was one of our best like Disney stories I think I've ever heard, because we had, you know, like everything. That's the fact that, you know, that Disney kind of got you got you interested in voices, whether you realized it or not, you know, as a kid.
So
that was so much fun for you to be able to be Timothy Mouse, albeit drunk Timothy Mouse, but still, like, how cool is that, that, you know, all those years ago, that's kind of all where it started.
Yeah, I really owe it to Disney and like my parents letting me watch so much, you know, TV and cartoons at that age. But yeah, but I love Disneyland now. Love it. It's like my go-to place. I think this is one of my highlights of my life is that I got paid to go to Disneyland in California as well as in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because not because of anything Disney related, but just because they were My Little Pony conventions close by. Oh. And I do voices on My Little Pony, and they, you know, the agents negotiate. And I was like, well, what if they paid me in Disney passes? They're like, done.
Wow.
Because I'm such a nerd.
That's awesome. Yeah. But you know what? Way to use that to your advantage, though. You're like, hey, this convention's nearby.
Now we get to see what our Venn diagram of DL Weekly and bronies.
There yes.
Because you know bronies are My Little Pony bros.
Yeah. Do you guys know any bronies?
No.
I do.
Do you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Bronies are awesome.
You don't know him.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't even remember which birthday party it was. It was My Little Pony themed and everybody got My Little Ponies.
Yes.
Well, you got to tell him now that you talked to a voice from My Little Pony. You probably
tell him
geek out.
Flash Sentry says hi.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we got to leave that in the podcast that he's got to listen to this episode.
There you go.
Like, oh my God.
that's so cool.
All right.
Yeah.
See, this is going to be a great interview. I'm so excited. So let's get through the next couple questions. Then we can just go crazy. We can go buck wild, if you will.
Hey-o, there you go.
When entering Disneyland on the first day of a visit, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go straight through the castle to Fantasyland? Do you go right towards Tomorrowland? What's kind of your attack plan on that first day?
Oh, I love this question. And I'm going to even back that up even more. I love to go through the left tunnel, personally, because here you leave today and enter a world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. And I always go through the left tunnel. For whatever reason, it's my chosen path in life, just to go through the left. I feel a bit weird when I go through the right. It's like, I'm not doing it right. I just got to go back. Go do the other.
See, I feel like I'm the opposite.
Back up and go.
Yeah, right?
See, I feel like, especially like the last trip we were there, I feel like we always went in on the right.
We do seem to tend to go to the right. So now when you're in, like, does it matter what turnstile you're in? If you're all the way over on the right side.
I'm not that obsessive. My gosh, that's just weird.
Some people are.
No, but I think the question was, that she was trying to get at is like, if you're on the far right turnstile, do you still go to the far left tunnel?
Yeah.
It depends. If you're doing rope drop and you got to get there,
That's
I will
true.
Sacrifice the left tunnel to get to the front of the line for rope.
That's true. That's how it was when we were trying to get candy canes.
Do the candy cane shuffle.
We're trying so hard not to like run and get in trouble, but walk as fast as you could. So all of these grown adults like
I gotta send you this video. I made a little like vacation video, YouTube video of my wife's first time going to Disneyland when I took her to Disneyland, because she's been to Disney World as well as Euro Disney or Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
So it was my first time taking her and she loved it. And we were there for rope drop. And it was my first time doing rope drop as well. And people started running and I'm documenting this. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Everyone's walking. And this guy goes, this is Disneyland walking. And I'm like, that's awesome. And he's like old school. He's been there for so long. And him and his wife are just like trucking it for Peter Pan.
It's amazing how fast those people can walk without actually running.
I'm a really good speed walker. I should really just implement that next time.
It's just like it's like the mall walkers. So
yeah, but like to the next level though. Yeah. I was impressed.
Okay, so I think you said it, but we were talking over you. So after you get through the left tunnel, where do you go?
Okay, so this depends. Usually it would be Peter Pan.
Oh.
Yeah, just because I want to get that out of the way as well, because I love that ride and I don't want to wait for a super long time, and I probably will ride it at the end of the night as well. Mm-hmm. But I just know that I can do that and maybe Matterhorn and then Space Mountain. But back, this is the thing. I had a whole strategy down, like so many people, with the Fast Pass and then with the Max Pass. I like got that stuff nailed. And now, Genie... yeah, I guess we'll see how that goes.
Well, and there goes your future Disney contracts. No, okay. I mean,
I love Disney. Genie Plus is amazing.
That's right. Our passes are going to get canceled too. It's fine.
It's interesting. I'm trying to be stay positive and be like, they're working out the kinks. But
yeah,
the longer the time goes on, the more I'm like,
I mean, see, the thing is for us, because you guys are in the Midwest as well. Mm-hmm. We're not from California. Yeah. So when we went there, I mean, I don't know. Did you guys have annual passes?
We did. Yeah. We do currently too.
So the Max Pass was included for y'all.
We could pay extra. It was like $100 or something to add to the pass.
So for me, every time I don't go very often. Mm-hmm. So when I went, I would have to purchase it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this isn't a huge difference. It's the only difference is that you can only book it the ride once in a day.
Yep.
Yeah.
We would strategize and just keep booking Haunted Mansion three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now you can't. And it's sad. No. It's very sad.
And then you've got the ones they have to pay extra for too. So
yes.
And depending on the season, if it's $7 or $18. Mm-hmm. Or
dynamic pricing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody's got to pay for Bob Chapek's, bonus that he got again.
He deserves.
Anyway, moving on to our third question.
What is your favorite attraction?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is.
It always changes.
Yeah, it's very hard. I think... in Disneyland, it's going to be, it has to be a very unique Disneyland ride, which is Indiana Jones.
Mm, good choice.
It's the only one of its kind. Well, mm-hmm. I guess dinosaur, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
just like the theming, the music, the Imagineers, what they did inside is just spectacular. And it's like a thrill ride, you know? Mm-hmm. Without having it be a roller coaster. What I love to do is get on the back seat. I thought the front was the best because you could drive and I like to get scared by the snake. But the cast member was like, you know, the back seat's the best, right? And it is. I sit in the back and I don't hold on at all. I just let the seatbelt secure me and you just get jostled like crazy. But yes.
I've been telling people every time I get on Indy, I tell people, especially people I haven't been on before, is not in the front row. The front row, this doesn't work on really. But if you're in the second or the back row, there's a spot where you can put your feet that's kind of angled. And if you push your feet down against that, you'll actually lift your butt up off the seat. So your legs are pushing your back into the seat, but you're off the seat and you don't hold on. And then as it bounces and moves around, you move a lot.
Right. I don't know. Last time we were on it, it felt way more like...
Well, it did feel a little bit more crazy. It's like they ratcheted up the bumpiness.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think that's what I always try to do is make my seatbelt loose so I can get the most craziness.
There you go. There
and
you
I
go.
try to do that with Guardians as well to get mm-hmm, a bit mm-hmm, more lift. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's not me. I'm like, can I get this tighter somehow?
he likes the back corner where he can
I wedge in the corner and I grab onto things. And the only time I let go is when I'm like, I got to look brave for the picture. And then I do it. And then as soon as it flashes, I grab back on.
He does.
You hit your angle and everything. You like turn. You like change.
Yeah, yeah.
And down.
Like I put my hands up.
Hit it.
And I can just feel it. And then it's like flash. And I'm like, and we're back.
Nice. At least you got the timing. You're brave enough to do that. My wife is so scared. She doesn't like the right side of the seating because there's a little hole. There's a little square.
Oh, yeah.
If you look up. Yep. I don't know what it's for.
Yeah.
In case, I guess, people need to crawl up. But she's scared she's going to fly through the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. You're good. Don't worry.
We have had cast members like joke and with the people.
Oh, really?
Like,
check your seat.
You better have your seatbelt on. Like, well, you see?
You got to ride it. If you enjoy that attraction, like it sounds like you do, you've got to ride it with producer Vern, because he puts his hands up and he waves back and forth with the music, like the whole ride. He never touches anything.
I love it. That's the same way I do it.
Yeah. See? And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
It's the best. I even like go as far as putting my wife's like purse on my lap just to watch it go. Just kidding, Disneyland. I don't do that. I put everything
just
on
watch
the
it float.
Line.
Yeah.
It's well, it's so all fun funny. And games until your wife's purse goes through that hole in the ceiling. And then
that's true.
And then she's like, you made me lose my purse.
Why do they even have that hole?
Oh, my goodness. All right.
So there you go.
I have to ask you a couple questions from your intro that are stupid and silly, but I will forget them. So my first question is, you worked at the Disney store. How often did people come in trying to do that thing where they have to get through to the back and touch the wall without somebody saying hi to them?
That's like an express thing.
What?
That wasn't a Disney store thing.
That was a Disney store thing, because the goal was you had to get into the Disney store and go to the back wall where the plush were, and you had to touch the wall without a cast member saying, hi, how are you doing today, or welcome to the store, or whatever. I could never do it.
Maybe that was a California thing.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. But
well, then.
It's pretty exciting.
Because here it was a different store.
It never worked.
Like Express or something. You had to like run to the back, touch the wall.
The thing is the Disney store that was in my town was fairly narrow. So the cast member like at the cash register, or if there was a cast member literally anywhere in the store, you were going to pass within 5 or 6 feet of them. And of course, they were going to say something to you. So it was like impossible.
Right.
But now there's like hardly any Disney stores anywhere, which is sad.
That's true.
So let's talk about something more interesting.
Sorry, I thought he was going to have a good answer for me. I apologize.
Boom.
Tell us, so before we get into your voice acting, which is, of course, like the main reason you're here is to promote the new movie. Let's talk about, I'm curious about your time at the Disney store and just how that was, what you did, what you liked, maybe you didn't like.
So back then, they had the mountain of plushies, the plush mountain that we had to like fix every night. Which was brutal. It was just terrible. What a stupid design. For employees.
It looked cool, though. It looked
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm speaking from an employee that was like, what? I think I was like 15. No, I wasn't that young. It's like 17, 18 years old, maybe. I think. Anyways, that was really hard to do. But I did love just like interacting with the kids. They're super excited. And I was such a Disney nerd. So just talking to them about different movies that they watched, you know, they loved. And so this is a cool little story. Back when I worked at the Disney store, Mulan was the big thing that came out. And so this girl was singing Reflections. Who is a girl I see? And I was like, who is that? She's got a great voice. So I looked her up on like, man, I'm dating myself. Dial up internet, probably. And this girl's name was Christina Aguilera. And I was like, oh, who's that? So she had one website. And I wrote, I was like, I work at the Disney store. I heard you sing. You're amazing. And then I just was just kind of like just spreading the love, just saying, you're amazing. As a performer, you always like to hear that you did a good job.
Yeah.
And then her mom actually wrote back to me and was like, oh, thank you so much. I'll let Christina know. Do you want to be part of her fan club? We just have this little mailing thing. So I like signed up for the fan club and I chatted with her mom a few times, and you would get like a newsletter in the actual mail, like snail mail, with like Christina Aguilera's updates. This is way before anything popped up for her. And then I got one email from Christina, because I don't know. It was just kind of like a fun little like geeky group of people who love Christina. I was like telling them what's up in my life. And I was like, I got into the show choir. And then and then Christina wrote back, was like, congratulations. Very happy for you. Who knows if it was actually her.
It's a good story.
Anyway. Yeah. So yeah. And then
you're the Christina Aguilera hipster. Like, I knew her before she was big.
I am like that Pete. What's that? Okay. Here's a hipster joke. Can I tell hipster jokes?
I think so.
Is that a friend of mine told this joke. Might not fly at all. Why did the hipster burn his mouth on this pizza?
I don't know.
Because he ate it way before it was cool.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's, right. That's good.
That's also kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a dad joke.
Yeah.
A little bit, right? Yeah. There you go.
Very fun. I love that you were in the original Christina Aguilera fan club.
I was. Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the snail mail days, too.
I remember, like, right, you would try and write into your favorite celebrities and maybe they would send you a signed photo back and it was all snail mail.
Yeah, that's right.
People forget.
I don't know if that answered your Disney Store question at all. But we got some.
You gave us something cool, better. It's okay.
Yeah.
I got some cool, they're not like lithographs, but they're like the prints that came out. Prints that came out. I think that when they re-released the movies again, mm-hmm. they gave us. So I got a bunch of like cool prints and pins. And just recently I went through my box of Disney stuff and I have like a Disney Store watch that's exclusively made for the Disney Store. And this other Mickey Mouse watch, I think, for the Disney Store as well. So yeah, some cool memorabilia.
I remember those like lithograph, like postery things because I think we got one. Yeah. I think I still have one somewhere at home that's one from Lion King. And I think there was one maybe from Beauty and the Beast or something. Was it crazy there when they'd have the re-releases of the VHS?
Yeah, it was nuts. And I remember I was working there when they released The Rescuers or re-released The Rescuers. Oh, mm-hmm. And then there was a frame, which I don't know if you guys remember this. But there was a frame in the movie, in the re-release, that
there was
one frame of a suggestively dressed woman was put into it. Yeah. And so they had to recall all those videos again.
Oh.
And I thought that was amazing that this happened.
Doesn't that just make you wonder how easy or not easy is it to get those things just kind of snuck in?
I think
all the
back
way to
then,
you know, production.
Yeah, I think back then they I know some animators. They're a crazy bunch of peeps.
but the thing is like, how did somebody see that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the way we look in movies now. We go, that's an Easter egg from that. This reminds me of this.
Yeah.
This is a little like hint for this new movie. So I think people were always nitpicky. They just didn't have YouTube to tell
everyone
about it.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I'm always impressed. This is off tangent, but I'm always impressed with with people that can see that stuff. Because Encanto just came out.
Yeah.
And the people that picked out you can see Bruno actually walking in the balcony on this one scene. I'm who noticed that? But you can. So this last time we watched it, I was paying attention to the background. And I saw him. I was like, who figured this out? It's in the song, We Don't Talk About Bruno, that you can see him walking.
But you know what fascinates me about this? So I'm watching, probably a lot of people listening to this too, Book of Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And there's Alex over at Star Wars Explained. He does a breakdown video he must be up at midnight or whenever the thing goes on Disney Plus, and he watched it and he makes a breakdown video. And so often he's finding, you're saying, these little details. I'm like, are you going frame by frame? How do you do this so quickly that by the time I wake up in the morning and see there's a new episode, you already have a YouTube video about it? And I understand logistically you have to be one of the first people. Otherwise, somebody else will make it and then nobody will watch yours.
Yeah.
But how do you get all that information together? How do you see, in this back frame, there was this thing going on, or Bruno?
What was his answer?
I didn't ask him.
Because here's what I think. I think it's a group of people that are like, okay, guys, we're going to make this YouTube video at 1 a.m. Everyone has a section of the show to watch. That's speculation.
Yeah.
But I think that would be the easiest to get it done, at least. It might not be enjoyable to watch the bottom left corner of Boba Fett the whole time, but
right.
Maybe you get it done.
Maybe. I don't know. It's always just crazy to me. I'm like, who sees these little tiny things? Yeah. It's
crazy. I also think that there are some people that are just really attentive to things.
They
can look at whatever and they can see everything. Because there's a bunch of times where people will be like, did you see that? And I'll be like, what? but James is the opposite of this. I'll watch something with James and I'll be like, did you see that? And he's like, what? And I'm like, okay, at least I see a little bit more than at least one person on this planet.
I also always kind of laugh with myself and think maybe it was the animator that planted that little thing that was waiting for someone, and maybe nobody said anything, so then they're the one that like releases it out into the world, like, hey, did you see that?
Right.
There was that whole time period though at Disney where like the Little Mermaid got re-released, and they had to like they were saying on the cover it looked phallic or something like that. Yeah. So it was always weird.
Oh, it was extremely phallic.
Yeah. So how did you get into it? Obviously, when you were young, you were doing voices, but how did you get into wanting to, like, hey, this is going to be a career or something I want to do for a job?
So I did musical theater for a long time. And I've, you know, loved singing and dancing, but I never thought about voiceovers for a living. It was just like, I want to be a star on Broadway. That was the dream. Like, I wanted to do that, like sing and dance. Mm-hmm. And I did, and not on Broadway, but you know, I did it professionally for a while, and it was super fun, but man, it does not pay. It's so hard to make a living as an actor and as a musical theater performer specifically. It was so super difficult. But for my like year-end project at this musical theater school I did for a year, I did this demo. I wanted to like make a voiceover demo. So I created this demo called Fridge Freaks. And I wrote the whole script. It was about just food talking to each other, trying to escape this fridge. And way too long. It was like 4 minutes long. And then when I did, I was working out in Toronto for a bit. And I came back to Vancouver and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to do this voiceover thing. Pitched the demo to an agent, got an agent. And started submitting me for different things. Wow. And I've always loved doing impersonations. I used to, again, dating myself, my goodness. landline phones, kids, you don't know what this is. But we had answering machines that were actually on tapes.
Yep.
And so I would leave like a different like voice memo, like an outgoing one, be like, welcome to the Tong residence. Well, we're not here to get the phone, but just leave a message and we'll call you back. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just made a whole bunch of, like every week was a different one. And my parents' friends got really annoyed and I had to stop. and so, yeah, just, I love slapping down all those voices. And then finally, you know, after audition, after audition, after audition, landed a job. It was called Sushi Pack. I played this big piece of tuna called Toro. And he was really fun to do. And worked with a bunch of amazing, prolific voice actors and got to just like sit there and just soak everything in. And then my very next job, I think was, I don't know if it was Iron Man, Armored Adventures or Death Note, but it was all like sort of coinciding. I was like, wow, this is like, I'm starting to like hit my stride and getting into the voiceover world, because it is a very small niche of people, you know, who were doing cartoons when I was a kid
who can still sound like this. So, you know, why choose somebody else when they're amazing? They're 80, but they still sound like this.
So, you know, you have like, In the States, you guys have like Frank Welker, Jim Cummings, like amazing voice actors who have been doing this forever. And they're so talented. And they don't do it for the money. They do it because they love it. They enjoy it. It's a great job that we have as voice actors. So that's really where it began. As well, you know, you can see a lot of voice actors are musicians or singers, because you have to have a good ear and be musical and just kind of like hear where you can put different sounds in your mask or in your throat or in your nose. So yeah, that's where it started.
Fascinating.
So with, you know, the one thing that's always really fascinating to me, especially when it comes to, you know, when you realize like, oh, this one person did, you know, this character, this character, this character, never would you have known it if you didn't see the name kind of thing. So how, what, can you tell us about the process of how you become these characters and how these voices get created? Because a lot of the times, just in what you've done in the time that we've talked, it's like, how are all these noises coming out of the same person?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's fascinating to me, like, that you can create these, you know?
Yeah, it's just a lot of practice talking to yourself. Yeah, constantly just looking in the mirror.
It's not weird. I swear I got friends. yeah, just doing that. I always loved mimicking things as a kid. You know,
like doing Barney from The Simpsons. All right, give me another flaming Homer.
What are you? Hey, it's a flaming mole. What are you talking about? Come on, Barney, get out of here.
So just doing that stuff, and then when you're like, okay, I gotta make this voice. So maybe he's a little bit like, I did this character called Jestro in Lego Nexo Knights, and they asked for like a Steve Buscemi kind of thing. So I watched Reservoir Dogs, you know, and I started talking like, hey, I don't tip. What are you talking about? Yeah, Steve Buscemi. So I started doing Buscemi, but then I'm like, hey, he's a bit serious. So then I went a little bit more up here. So almost like Timothy Mouse. Like Timothy Mouse would be very happy up here, but this guy's a bit of a bad guy, right? So okay, he's from New York somewhere. I don't know where he's from, but he's got a bit of an attitude. But you know, he's got a bit of a soft side too. So you kind of got to find that kind of vulnerability, because he was a villain, right? That's the thing. He's a baddie, but villains are the most interesting because they got a backstory. He wasn't really bad. He was just misunderstood. So you got to find that vulnerability within this character as well. And then you present that to the producers and the directors. And so you get that feedback. They'll direct you and redirect you. And that's, and then you kind of like come to this like happy marriage of where the producer and the networks are happy, and something that hopefully you can sustain as well. So, yeah.
Wow. That's really neat that you get a lot of creative, like you can be very creative with the voice. It's not like, no, not like that. No, not like that either. You know, you don't have, it's not yeah. like it's being micromanaged on these voices.
That's really cool though.
No, it's just, it's interesting. When I first started, like I said, well, Toro was a bit weird, but not weird, but like, he's a bigger voice. I had to put on like a character voice. But when I did like Iron Man Armored Adventures, it was more like this. And then when I was the Mandarin, it was a lot deeper. And then for Matsuda in Death Note, it was like this. So I started like booking a lot of these like kind of hero guys. And then I booked soon after that, Kai in Lego Ninjago. He's the red ninja. And so, you know, this is Kai. Like, yo, what's up, guys? It's Kai. And like, I'm like, oh, I'm just doing like my voice sort of, but like a cooler version of my voice. And then I was like, oh, I wish I could do character voices. And then there was like a period where I was doing like all little kid voices. Like all I booked was like little kids. I'm like, can I just kind of go through puberty so I don't have to sound like that at 9 a.m.? So it's interesting. It kind of like ebbs and flows, you know?
Wow.
That's so cool. Just, I love that you explained the process, because obviously, you know, you hear all the time about, you know, not voice actors, but like actors that are on screen going through doing a lot of research. I mean, like a famous one, right, is like Heath Ledger doing like the Joker, right? Like had to come up with this whole character and he like lived it in, you know, and I can't remember who's the other guy who always does that. He played
Daniel Day-Lewis.
But also, who's the guy who played Batman? In
There's
the Dark
several
Knight.
People. Oh,
Val movie. Kilmer.
No,
George
no.
Clooney.
Not
ones. I'm just naming the best ones. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton was a great one.
Bennifer.
What is his name? Well, whatever. But all these people, they go through this whole process of like finding the character and coming it. So the fact that you have to present all of that through just a voice
That's right.
Is really interesting. And then also, because you're so versatile with voices. Unlike an actor where you can watch a movie and be like, oh, yeah, that's Vincent Tong. Like, I know him. Like, we would, unless you're reading the credits, we would not know that you did the voices, because you sound so different on
that's
different
right.
voices.
Yeah. 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 It's really cool. I love that aspect of this job, and the fact that there is, I mean, not like, you know, being celebrities, I think like an A-list celebrity, I think that would be like very annoying.
Yeah,
to not be able to go anywhere without being recognized and people asking for your autograph and pictures and stuff like that, and
camping out in front of your house.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a bit strange, and that anonymity is really cool for voice actors.
Yeah.
But we get to, you know, as actors, we all like to be kind of pat on the back and have a little bit of applause. So, you know, it's nice to kind of get your ego stroked at these conventions. You know, I've been to Comic-Con a few times and My Little Pony conventions all over the world. So it's really cool to meet the fans and have your work appreciated and then go home or just go to In-N-Out Burger and just enjoy a nice burger.
Until you start doing voices, and then people are like, wait a minute.
I was like, that was him.
Yeah. So of all the voices you've done, do you have a favorite voice or a favorite character that you've done?
I feel like that's like asking someone to pick their favorite child.
Maybe.
Well, I have to just kind of represent Kai, Lego Ninjago. Mm-hmm. Because I think we just celebrated our 11th year of Ninjago being on, which is a phenomenal feat for a show to be on that long. So love doing Kai, love the adventures that we've been going through, and just love the opportunities that it's provided me. Voice wise, like, I mean, I love doing Jestro in Nexo Knights, but you know, that show just didn't last. It was kind of sad.
I do a lot of these, like, you know, guy characters who just sound like this, and they're always really cool.
It's kind of like that Keanu Reeves kind of.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, I think like, yeah, just kind of like Brad Pitt, any good looking dude voice. They're kind of goofy and fun. Okay. One really fun one, which I loved just working with the girls as well, was Lolly Rock. It's on Netflix, I believe.
And I played Mephisto, who is he has a twin brother, a twin sister named Praxina. And they're like bumbling idiots.
They were sort of like based off of the Rocket team. Was it, what are they? The Pokemon, the baddies.
Oh, Rocket. Yeah, I don't know their names.
Man, I'm terrible.
Yeah. Anyways, it was that guy, which is also, you know, it's interesting. So this voice, which is Mephisto, but if you do it in a different accent, it could be like, "Welcome, my friends,
Gala from Indiana Jones."
Yeah.
So
it's a little bumpy.
Yeah.
Yes, a little bumpy. Don't look into the eye of Mara.
So it's just like, it's the same sort of placement, but just with a different accent, right?
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Now, it's funny because as you're saying it and changing it, yeah, I'm like, wow, I can hear the similarities. Yeah. But if you were to listen to them separate.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Well, and then you also have, you know, the visuals going on too, which then...
Yeah,
that's right. Sometimes throws it too. That's amazing. So how long have you been voice acting then?
Well, since Sushi Pack, I guess. So I don't know. Maybe over 15 years at least.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I think so. Yes.
As is pretty typical with interviews like this, we talked a little bit too long, too much for just one episode. So we're going to finish our conversation with Vincent next week. Do go check out Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild, coming to Disney Plus this Friday, January 28th. Again, only on Disney Plus.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Right. Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we get our answers that we've all been dying for. Our first question. In Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, when the woman is auctioning off the chickens, there are four people standing waiting. What is the woman in a brown dress holding? It's not a chicken, and it's not a chicken in a cage. She's holding a bust.
Oh, we were so wrong. A bust.
Speaking of busts, our second question. In the Haunted Mansion, why is Uncle Theo's bust broken? Thanks to Chris Y for this one. It was actually an interesting find, I think, on a TikTok. But there was an error during the filming that caused it to be on a slant. So rather than redoing it, they just put the bust on a slant.
Oh, that's so cool. See, this is what I love about Imagineers. Yeah. So creative.
Exactly.
Some would say that was being lazy and they were cutting corners. Not me. That's creative. That is so fun and creative. And you know what? Makes it like that much more like better and more memorable of a scene than, versus if they were all just stand, you know, sitting normally.
I agree. Mm. Happy accident.
Mm-hmm.
Our third question, a representation of the Death Star can be found in the queue of which ride? Thanks, Stephen S. for the question. Tag, you got there. Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure.
Thank goodness I watch Tom Holland and everything.
Do you remember what, did he say what it is?
It is a Lego Star Wars.
Oh, it's Lego Death Star, Lego one. Dang, good job.
Yeah, if I remember right, it is in the lab scene, somewhere in the mess where Tom Holland starts seeing the spider bots showing up.
The pre-show area?
There it is.
Oh, yep, there it is. Dang.
I didn't see it myself, but I had a feeling.
I thought it was in one of the sketches on the wall.
Our final question from listener Liberty M. Cast member costume I'm immediately recognizable by my bright colors, crisp vests that feature white and colorful stripes. I'm also seen with matching colorful pants and a fun straw hat donned with a bright colored strip of fabric. Teresa definitely knows her Disneyland Main Street characters, the Dapper Dans, are who we're describing.
Ooh, good job, Teresa.
We did not do bad this week.
No, two for two. And two very confident answers in those last
we
two.
We can't just forget those first two. Vern do it anymore because he.
We didn't do two, but I got three last week.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, three to tags one. How interesting.
Hey.
Well, do you want to help us stump or let them feel good about themselves in Trivia Land? We're always taking great listener questions and sharing them on air. Send an email to producer Vern and I. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.